Folks, welcome to Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Today is Monday, August 24th. That's right, it's almost football season. Major League Baseball has been very good to us over the summer. We struggled a little bit last week turning a profit, but did turn a nice profit on Sunday afternoon, going 2-1 overall. Big things are happening in baseball season to end the year. College football is right on the horizon. NFL is right behind it, and we're ready to rock here at TrendBetting.com. Folks, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition this Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will have on legendary professional sports gambler Jim Feist, along with myself, Donnie Wrightside. We're closing out this summer in sensational style. Stay tuned for the radio show, folks. It's Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside, for Monday, August 24th. Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. As you heard the promo there, a lot of fun, good stuff is coming up on the horizon. As a sports fan, as a sports fanatic, as a sports gambler, this is the time of the year that is the most fun. A lot of anticipation coming into the season for football, as well as college football. A huge close to Major League Baseball. Pennant races are a lot of fun to watch down the stretch, but it's also very, very important to pay particular attention to these Major League Baseball games as they close out the month of August and through September. Information, you can never get enough of it at this time of the year. We talked about it all summer long, the changing of the seasons, of how you want to approach, you know, April and May. As you know, we don't even start in April, to let some of those teams balance out, let some situations handle themselves, lineups fill out, starting pitchers get back, you know, get back up to speed, throwing 6, 7, 8 innings, bullpens get more intact, you know, where that closer's going to close, where that relief pitcher's going to actually set up. And teams always are still bright and sunny at that point, because even the worst baseball team typically at the end of April is only 5 games out of first place, therefore, quote unquote, still in the running as Major League Baseball season progresses over the summer. Now, heading into, you know, pre-All-Star break, post-All-Star break, and also getting pre- and post-trade deadline, everything does change. A lot of things in the equation do change. Meaning, again, the same things that pop up in the beginning of the season in April are the same things that will pop up around that trade deadline. The only difference is now there are haves and have-nots. Some of the teams out there in Major League Baseball are no longer going for it. They're trying out new players. Some of those Major League Baseball teams are all in. Stacked lineups. Case in point, Toronto Blue Jays. All in and rolling right now since they got Tulowitzki pumped into that lineup. Took Reyes out, put Tulo in, absolutely rolling. Now look at the opposite sides of the equation. Philadelphia Phillies basically sold most of their team, older guys, throughout the year and starting at the beginning of the year with guys like Jimmy Rollins. Chase Utley's gone. Cole Hamels is gone. A lot of young guys coming up. Stagnant there with Ryan Sandberg as a manager. They let Ryan Sandberg go. They know they're out of it and the pressure is off. And they're playing really, really good baseball. So some of those times you can factor in, again, with the haves and the have-nots. Sometimes those have-nots have a lot to play for and start playing the game the way it's supposed to be again because there's no pressure. There's no pressure in winning, getting into the postseason. You know, an older guy, veteran, is above you. You're a rookie, still on the bench. You're not getting your playing time. That guy's old and wore down, but he's a vet. He's hitting 210, 200 below the Mendoza line. But those young kids now are able to play and are hungry and are playing every single day, and especially the influx of when you have a decent pitcher in the minor league system, when they do come up, most of them, as long as they have a pedigree, are going to be able to get outs at the major league level going through teams the first time around. Because one of the biggest things in Major League Baseball that you do like to pick on is how much has one team seen another guy. If it's your journeyman starter, you know, yesterday, like a Matt Garza from Milwaukee, who we picked on yesterday, he's been around the block a while. Teams have seen him, and teams are going after him because you know what's going to be thrown. First pitch, what does he like? Fastball. 1-2 count, boy, he likes to pound the inside of the strike zone. 0-2 count, he likes to throw the slider away. 1-1 count, he tries to get back ahead of you. Fastball's coming right down Grand Central Station. They pounded him yesterday. Wasn't a good start for us in the Washington game because they got down immediately. Two runs there. Excuse me. So it's 2-0 start there, but you know Garza. It's a full-blown lineup for Washington. They were full go 1-8. Very, very good lineup, and they cleaned up in that game, putting up 9 runs. But again, getting back to the haves and the have-nots and how they're playing with the rookie pitchers. Rookie pitchers are coming up. Look at Aaron Nola for the Phillies yesterday. Goes down, shuts down the Marlins, 8 innings on the road, 3 hits. Fantastic. Young closer Ken Giles. He's not closing in pressure situations right now, but he's a very good pitcher, and he's dealing with it very well. I believe yesterday was his 10th save. I'm not even sure he's even blown a save all year long. Been very good. But that changes a lot if that's pitching in a pennant. Look at yesterday in the Kansas City and Boston Red Sox game. Red Sox had that game locked down. They're not playing for anything. So, I mean, they're still going with, you know, Tozawa out of the bullpen and leaving these guys in, you know, a bullpen that's hurt versus a team that really needs to win. Kansas City does have a nice lead, but they're playing for the postseason. Every win is crucial in getting them one step closer and closer and closer to the deadline there for them to get that magic number down, you know, 10, 9, 8. You'll see the numbers start creeping up there in September. Every win is important. Every single at-bat is important. Whereas the Boston Red Sox have been playing good baseball as of late, again, with the pressure off, manager away, you know, new fresh look for the guy in the dugout, and they're really playing well for him. But when push comes to shove, that team that absolutely must have that win is going to make that push and take every at-bat, every pitch more seriously than the team that's out of it. Maybe the Boston Red Sox looking at their own numbers as opposed to the team numbers. They're done. They're out of it. Buried. But that doesn't mean the guys say, hey, you know what? I want to hit a milestone. You know, and I never had 32 doubles in my career during a season. I have 27 of them. Instead of me moving the runner over to second base when it's one out and a guy on, and I know I just have to, you know, hit behind the runner and get him to get over, maybe hit a fly ball, move him over to second so we have a good look at this, I'm going to try to stroke one in the gap. So I'm going to look fastball, center cut. If I don't get it these next two pitches, I'm just going to swing for it. And if I strike out, so be it. I really want those 32 doubles. That does creep into the equation when the team heading for the postseason with a man on first and nobody out or one out. He might drop the head on the bat, move that runner to second base, bunt him over, maybe even try to bunt himself on for a base hit, but push comes to shove, you move that guy to second base, and the guy behind you can clean up and drive that run home. So a lot of different things happen in Major League Baseball throughout the season with the haves and the have-nots, as you're seeing. The only downfall being a professional sports gambler in this is you really have to navigate those waters. Because these games are really, really expensive. If you looked at the Chicago Cubs yesterday versus the Atlanta Braves, Atlanta's still putting out a decent hitting lineup. Pitchers are really struggling. They can't win a game to save their life on the road. Now, when Arrieta's on the mound or John Lester's on the mound versus Atlanta, I get it. It's going to be minus 200 or higher. But they're just throwing average guys out there like Jason Hamill at minus 215, minus 220. Are the Cubs going to win that game? Yes, the Cubs are going to win that game. But again, sometimes it's not betting the team itself. It's betting the overall value in the number. And again, in Major League Baseball, the worst team in the league is typically winning 60 to 65 games a year. They're going to lose 120, you know, it seems like. I mean, obviously, it's just an exaggeration. Most of the teams are going to win 65, 70 games. A 60-win team is outrageous, which Houston approached those numbers the past couple years, but there's still wins involved. You know, one out of every three games, they're probably going to pick up a win, the worst team in baseball, no matter what the stats may say about those teams. And we've all seen it. You know, how many times have you seen a number, like last week, the Philadelphia Phillies with facing Mark Burley, minus 240 at home, and they stung Burley that whole game, stung them. And they win the game like 7-3 or 7-4. Again, it's not about the teams. It's about the value. Should Toronto have won that game? Absolutely. If the game is just a pick 'em and you're in a pool at the office and it says, who do you want to win tonight? It's 99% you're just going to pick Toronto. Because, yes, they should win the game. But nobody really wants to lay $260 or $270 on a road team to win the game. It's hard enough just to win. I mean, if you look at the numbers on the season, I think Toronto's only a couple games over 500 on the road, period. Now, they rake at home, as they should, but going out on the road is a lot of times a 50-50 proposition, even if you're matched up to something really good in a pitching matchup. But again, heading down the stretch in August and also in September, a lot of the September call-outs are going to be coming up in Major League Baseball very shortly. After September 1st, they don't really count towards Major League Baseball service time, and the rosters expand in Major League Baseball. That's where I like it even more than what's going on right now, because good players are still coming up. Good young starting pitchers are coming up because they have to fill in the rotation. But once September hits, the have-nots turn into the really, really have-nots, because when they bring up the extra kids from the minor league system just to fill out their roster, they're looking towards the future because wins no longer matter in September. The Phillies are out of it. I always use the Phillies because, again, that's my hometown team, but they're in a precarious situation where they're the dead last team in baseball. So you always want to watch where they go and what they're doing. But right now, before the September call-outs, they're still bringing up pretty good hitters and pretty good kids. Darnell Sweeney came up the other night in Miami, crushed a blast out to left center field to give the Philadelphia Phillies a 3-2 lead in that game. He's a good young prospect. Altair came up. He's a decent young prospect as well, all making big impacts. A couple young pitchers have come up. They've really made some good impacts as well. But once we get into September, everything is going to break loose. That means a lot of really bad starting lineups are going to come out just because they're giving some vets a rest. They're taking a look at some young ball players to see where they can fit in, or even if they're even major league prospects at that point. Some guys, you know, 32, 33 years old, you're just giving them the attaboy starts there, catcher, and, you know, a reliever who's never really had too much major league service time. He's going to come up in September and pitch the sixth or seventh inning of one game, maybe 3-2. Hey, let the guy go out there on the mound and let's see how he progresses and see how he does. It's always key, and in September, you have to know what that starting lineup's going to be, and you have to do your due diligence on what that bullpen is going to look like, who's available and who's not available. Because if you look at teams like, let's just say, the Cincinnati Reds, who have a good mix of veterans, they're out of it, coming down the stretch. Ninth inning game comes in. Do they really want to put Aroldis Chapman in the game September 26th to get an inning and a half save? Do they really want to do that? If they were two games out of a playoff spot, he would be in there and shutting it down immediately. Maybe they want to check out that young closer in double-A ball who they brought up. He's a little bit wild, but hey, let's throw him in the fire and see how he does. Well, two walks later, two hits later, you blew the game. You can't leave that up to chance, because a team that is fighting for its playoff spot, a la the Kansas City Royals, are throwing that full boat bullpen at you every single night. Whereas they might be going against a team that's already out of it, and they're throwing a double-A pitcher in the eighth inning just to see what he can do in a 3-2 ball game. That's not the way you want to approach September, and it's very, very important that you take a look at that. Completely different from betting style in June and July and heading forward there. And that's where it all changes over. That's why baseball is such a fun microcosm of life itself. You have to look deep into those numbers and dig in order to put an investment out there on one of these games. Right now, I've talked to a couple of people on Twitter, a couple of my subscribers as well. It's really hard right now to differentiate value from what true value would be. Teams right now are really juiced up much, much higher than they should be, even though they should win the baseball game. There's a couple of those games today. Jacob deGrom is a really, really good pitcher, and the Mets are on absolute fire coming off of that Colorado trip. But once again, deGrom is going to be over 200 at game time versus the Philadelphia Phillies. Adam Morgan is just your average run-of-the-mill young pitcher. Not really dominant, but they want to see what he can do. His ERA at home, I believe, is somewhere between 2-3, somewhere in that range. And he's getting 200 at home. And the Phillies aren't giving up. The Mets typically aren't a very high-scoring team, but in Colorado, I mean, that could be, you know, anything there. I mean, these teams, it's a launch pad out there. Now, coming back to Philadelphia, not the biggest ballpark in the world, but I'm not laying 200 on a road team. I'm not going to lay 200 on a road team. Absolutely not. Not even a minus one, minus one and a half. It doesn't make any sense. You want to pick on those teams. If the Mets are going to be minus 200 at home versus the Phillies, all right, maybe they're in play for a minus one, something like that. Or even if I find a severe mismatch, something in the first five innings that you can really exploit. But overall, teams heading in that direction, you're not going to spend that much money on, especially being on the road. So it's a good start to show there just to tell you a little bit about what we're looking at Major League Baseball as we collapse down the stretch and go in August and into September. Major League Baseball postseason, I don't really participate in it. Why? Because there's no value. To me, there's no value. I don't care if the line, hey, well, you say, Donnie, there's no value. It's minus 110. It's minus 120. You're looking at two top teams going head-to-head with stacked benches and bullpens. Flip a coin at that point. Do you want some action? Take the home team. You know, Clayton Kershaw's on the mound. Doesn't matter. He'll get raked in St. Louis like he always does. We don't participate very, very much. I think I've only had maybe one, maybe two official plays over the last two postseasons. At that point, don't worry, though. We'll be in August. That's pure football season, and we'll be going hard at that point as well. A couple of betting tips on the NFL and college football. We don't even participate over the first 3 weeks of either season. Reason being is you don't really know. If you are going to be wagering in college football or NCAA football over the first 3 weeks, completely fade the public because they have no idea what they're talking about. Sitting by the water cooler, look at the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Again, I go back. Their odds are dropping in Las Vegas to win the Super Bowl because of what, two preseason games? Are they a good football team? Yes. Are they impressive in the preseason? Yes. But once again, it's only the preseason. Dallas Cowboys are every bit as good as the Philadelphia Eagles, and they don't even care about the preseason. They don't even care at all. Going out of league, they might have even gotten shut out last night in the game. I didn't watch the end of it, but I know it was 16-0 in San Francisco. They absolutely don't care one bit about the preseason, and neither should you. As long as you escape the preseason healthy, that's all you can ask for. And game one, you see like 90% of the wagers before Jordy Nelson went down are on the Green Bay Packers to open up the season. Well, now he's gone. Still going to load up 90%, or is public perception going to completely change that? When you go into the office, wherever you work, if you deliver mail, if you're a stockbroker, if you're in sales, you know, if you're in administration, go stand by the water cooler, throw a concept out there. Hey, man, first night of the season, what do you think? Pittsburgh's going to be playing New England. Oh, man. No, Brady, it's going to be a blowout winner. Blow out this, blow out that. Punch up $5, punch up your local bookie. Get on the Patriots. Joe Public has no idea in the first 3 weeks. And it's no secret that Las Vegas wins more money in September than any month of the season. Why is that? Because Joe Public is firing on unknown quantities at that point. Just sit back and relax. Let those numbers stack up on each other. By late September, we will be firing away on Mismatch City. And it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. And you're going to want to be with us as well. I know it's hard not to pull that trigger early in September. I know it is. You got that Monday night matchup. You got that Thursday night matchup, that huge game on Saturday, that national conference versus conference game in college football. Lay off it. There's no need for it. Sit back and wait, because once we get into conference play, we're going to destroy it. We are really going to get after it, and it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun as those times come. Now, coming up on Thursday night, we have our big, big NFL college football kickoff show. Going to have Lucky Lance Williams on with me, founder, CEO, trendbetting.com. He's going to talk about what we're going to be looking at during the season on the website, feature some handicappers on the website, and just talk numbers of how exciting it is and what times we're looking at with trendbetting.com and the whole Long Shots brand. Going to have Alex, the AK-47, on the show. We're going to take a quick look there at the overall DFS scene, cap some games, go over some big early season mismatches that Alex does zero in on. Good guy, a lot of fun, writes for a lot of stuff for content online. Big, big fantasy guy. We're going to include that a lot in our shows coming up over the fall. And then, of course, we're going to have longtime gambling expert Jim Feist on the show as well, going over a lot of knowledge right off the bat. I mean, we're going to get on the radio, bring Jim right on, pick his brain, hear his thoughts. Guy's been in the industry a long, long time. He's a gambling legend. It's going to be a lot of fun, that show. We're really going to kick off the season in style and go over everything that you're going to need to get you ready for football, NFL, college football, closing the baseball season, going to be sensational. So you're definitely going to want to sit around and go over that with us as well. Folks, what we're going to do now, we are going to take a very, very quick break here as we get back. Got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I certainly want to go over some information on Major League Baseball today that we can look at. Not too impressed with the card overall. I did a little bit of capping early on. We'll go over maybe some spots and certainly recap what happened on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this past weekend. Folks, stay on the line. This is Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years. And have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com, click on the Experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the Experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Folks, welcome back to the radio show, Monday Major League Baseball edition of Long Shots with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Let's get into some Major League Baseball notes as we like to recap over the weekend. Caught a couple of tough games, which could have went our way, but just didn't happen. Starting on Friday night, only had one play, waited on all day long, liked what I saw as I got home. It was the Oakland Athletics versus the Tampa Bay Rays in Oakland. It was Smiley versus Bassett. Smiley coming back off the injury, didn't have a good start. I figured Oakland would be able to touch him up a little bit and get after it. Bassett's been really good as a rookie. And again, he was really good on Friday night, but it wasn't good enough as we ended up losing 2-0. One of the tougher games. It was 1-0, I believe, in the fourth inning, if I'm remembering correctly there. In the sixth inning, there was one out and bases loaded for the Oakland A's. You needed that fly ball. You needed that base hit, and you really could have made a dent and really, you know, started looking at a win, but Brett Laurie comes up, strikes out with the bases loaded and one out. Next batter flies out, I believe, so they got out of that inning. Top of the ninth was another tough one. It was a solo blast by Desmond Jennings to go up 2-0, so you figured the game was over, all said and done. Oakland, of course, rallies in the bottom of the ninth inning, makes it 2-1 with men on first and third, stolen base. Second and third with one out, and Coco Crisp strikes out, followed by, I believe it was either Sam Fold came up or Burns came up. The very next batter wasn't able to do much with it and popped out to end the game. So one base hit away, one fly ball away from extending that game, but a base hit would have won it for us. That was a huge swing game that we didn't get. But again, don't really get too mad at those type of caps because you're right in it, and all you can really ask for is a chance to win the game, and we did have it, and it just didn't come up. Saturday, we were 1-1 heading into our final game of the day, which was the Baltimore Orioles, who absolutely had to win that game versus the Minnesota Twins. Absolutely. Tillman was fantastic in that game. Gibson had been touched up the previous few starts. They couldn't get to him. They got up 1-0 in that game, was then tied 1-1. And bases loaded again with one out. We got a fly ball to make it 2-1 in, I believe, the sixth inning of that ball game. Couldn't make it hold up there. Now, the worst part about that is after that fly ball, I believe it might have been J.J. Hardy. I can't remember exactly who hit that ball out the right field to Torrey Hunter, but they did score Crash Davis from third to make it 2-1. Another single came in right behind there. It's a shame they couldn't round him in or just give him a play at the plate. I didn't actually see that at that point, but that would have been a big run. They couldn't get it, so his bases loaded. Machado comes up. He's got a full count. He strikes out. Base hit there, ends it. Do anything with that ball at the plate, it ends the game, and probably Baltimore wins it. 2-2, the bottom of the next inning. Excuse me, top of the seventh, followed by the bullpen comes in, which Baltimore's had a stellar bullpen all year long, and they collapsed again. 3-2 final, no runs for the Orioles in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, and that gave us an overall losing day on Saturday. Moving over to Sunday, we did pick up a profit going 2-1 overall, split the first two games of the day. Nice, easy winner in Washington. We did lose to Houston, excuse me, the Texans. Texans, look at me, got football in the mind. The Texas Rangers with Cole Hamels, we lost 2-1 in that game over the first five. Leadoff double in the fifth, they left him stranded there. Again, one of those just one base hit away from at least getting the push, or if he put together two base hits in a row, we would have got ourselves a W there because Texas did win that overall game. But it all came down to St. Louis and San Diego. Michael Wacha was sensational on the mound again. They got to the young kid Rhea early, just like I thought they would. Built a 10-1 lead by the time it hit the bottom of the ninth, and that game ended up 10-3. So a nice profit on Sunday, but again, a couple of those games could have went our way. Even earlier in the week, we had Pittsburgh at home up 8-3 on Arizona. They end up winning the game. We had it on the run line, -1. They won the game in the 13th inning, 9-8. But that was a collapse, and that should have been an absolute victory. Even the following night, where we had the Miami Marlins versus the Philadelphia Phillies, Jerome Williams got destroyed in the first two innings for 8 runs. It was 8-1 by the time we ended Long Shots Radio on Thursday night, and it looked like an easy winner, and all of a sudden the Phillies are chipping away. It's 8-1, it's 8-2, it's 8-3, it's 8-4, it's 8-5, it's 8-6. I mean, come on. And thank goodness for the Ichiro getting the triple in the bottom of the eighth inning, and I driven in the next play to make a 3-run game. Because in the ninth inning, Ramos comes in the game and gives up a blast to Cody Ashe. So, I mean, we're sweating out game. We're not winning 8-3 games in the eighth inning at home and sweating out 8-1 wins with one of the worst road teams in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies. Just the way it went last week, we did not turn a profit, but hey, limited the damage, got some money back on Sunday, and of course, we move ahead today. We'll have our full card of plays on trendbetting.com out by 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you haven't been to the website, go to the website, trendbetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see me right there, Donnie Wright. So I click on Packages Available. We do have a couple season packages that were sold over the weekend, which is fantastic. Thanks so much for that. And you'll see the baseball included in that with an entire season of National Football League action. It's going to be a lot of fun, as I said, over the next couple months. We're just getting started here on Long Shots Radio. So join the team today. Go to trendbetting.com. Check out what we have to offer. It's been a fun show. We'll see you on Thursday night for our football extravaganza with legendary gambling professional Jim Feist headlining that show. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Good luck through the week. We'll see you on Thursday night. Get on the right side, trendbetting.com.